Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, man. Everything is going wrong.
They say that you're a runaround lover, though you say it isn't so. But if you put me down for another, I'll know, believe me, I'll know. 'Cause a night has a thousand eyes, and a thousand eyes can't help but see if you are true to me.
So remember when you tell those little white lies that the night has a thousand eyes.
You say that you're at home when you phone me, and how much you really care. So you keep telling me that you're lonely. I'll know if someone is there. 'Cause a night has a thousand eyes, and a thousand eyes can't help but see if you are true to me.
So remember when you tell those little white lies that the night has a thousand eyes.
One of these days you're gonna be sorry, 'cause your game I'm gonna play. And you find out without really trying, each time that my kiss is free. 'Cause a night has a thousand eyes, and a thousand eyes will see me.
A thousand eyes.
How we doing, boys and girls? Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. Let's see what happens. I'm going to click on Communist Graduation.
The 48 senators who voted to burn the flag as they pass in review under the new American symbol, the O over the highway, the red and white highway comrades. Daniel Akaka from Hawaii, Evan Bai from Indiana, Robert Bennett from Utah, here comes the Joseph Biden, Jeff Bingaman from New Mexico, who wants to destroy the United States military for the good of the country. Barbara Boxer from California, Robert Byrd, flag burner and barn burner, Maria Cantwell from the communist state of Washington, Gene Carnahan from Missouri, Thomas Carper from Delaware, Lincoln Chafee from Rhode Island, Hillary Clinton from the doormat state of New York, Thad Cochran from Mississippi, Kent Conrad from North Dakota, John Corzine, now the Commissar of New Jersey, Thomas Daschle from South Dakota, who will soon reappear as Tsarina, Christopher Dudd from Connecticut, who gets low mortgages for himself but nobody else, Byron Dorgan from North Dakota, Richard Durbin, who has killed more Americans than Al Qaeda. As a matter of fact, he's up in Mosul for the Zarqawi Award. And hang in there, and we'll give you more of this list of communist celebrities, those who can hurt America more than you can dream. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party Book.com. A lot of excitement going on around the country, huh? You think that this patriotism thing will get out of hand? Well, let me introduce you to the new world order that now controls the United States. And I'm going to read you the 45 goals of the Communist Party. And I want you to pick out all the ones that sound like they're in play today. They're going after Charlie Rangel tonight because he's a crook. Did you know he's a flag burner too? And I wouldn't put it past them to be a baby killer also. Yep, party over country. That's the new socialist party of death, the Communist Party of North America, formerly known as Democrats, graduated to Democrats, and now officially communistic. So let me read you the communist takeover of America, of 45 declared goals. You're about to read a list of 45 goals that found their way down the halls of our great capital back in 1963. I told you, after the 50s, this country was shot. As you read this 39 years later, as you read this 39 years later, you should be shocked by the events that have played themselves out. I first ran across this list 3 years ago, but was unable to attain a copy, and it has bothered me ever since. Recently, Jeff Renzi, R-E-N-S-E, posted it on his site, and I would like to thank him for doing so. Communist Goals 1963, taken from the Congressional Record Appendix, pages 834-835. Listen to the date now. It's very important. January 10th, 1963. Go back to 1963. What was taking place in this country? After the 50s, this country was shot. Current Communist Goals, extensions of remarks of Honorable A.S. Herlong Jr. of Florida in the House of Representatives, Thursday, January the 10th, 1963. Mr. Herlong, Mr. Speaker, Mrs. Patricia Nordman of DeLand, Florida, is an ardent and articulate opponent of communism, and until recently published the DeLand Courier, which she dedicated to the purpose of alerting the public to the dangers of communism in America. At Mrs. Nordman's request, I include in the record, under unanimous consent, the following current communist goals as of 1963, which she identifies as an excerpt from The Naked Communist by Cleon Skousen. 1. U.S. acceptance of coexistence as the only alternative to atomic war. Notice U.S. acceptance. 2. U.S. willingness to capitulate in preference to engaging in atomic war. Surrender. 3. Develop the illusion that total disarmament by the United States would be a demonstration of moral strength. 4. Permit free trade between all nations, regardless of communist affiliation and regardless of whether or not items could be used for war. Now, you heard that one, right? There's a guy who was the head of the Longshoremen's Union. His name was Teddy Gleason. His union would not unload any cargo from any communist nation ships right here in New York City. And what did we have recently? We had Dubai Ports Authority, and our politicians were trying to sell the handling of our ports over to the Emiratis. 5. Extension of long-term loans to Russia and Soviet satellites. Aren't we doing that now? 6. Provide American aid to all nations regardless of communist domination. 7. Grant recognition of Red China, admission of Red China to the UN. 8. Set up East and West Germany as separate states in spite of Khrushchev's promise in 1955 to settle the German question by free elections under supervision of the UN. 9. Prolong the conferences to ban atomic tests because the United States has agreed to suspend tests as long as negotiations are in progress. 10. Allow all Soviet satellites individual representation in the UN. 11. Promote the UN as the only hope for mankind. If its charter is rewritten, demand that it be set up as a one-world government with its own independent armed forces. Some communist leaders believe the world can be taken over as easily by the UN as by Moscow. Sometimes these two centers compete with each other, as they are now doing in the Congo. 1963. 12. Resist any attempt to outlaw the Communist Party. 13. Do away with all loyalty oaths. Did you know with the 9-1-1 hearings that they didn't have a Bible? Nobody was sworn in to give testimony with a Bible? Did you know that a guy read off a piece of paper, "Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you?" Go get the clips and get a good look at who's sitting on the dais. 13. Do away with all loyalty oaths. 14. Continue giving Russia access to the U.S. Patent Office. 15. Capture one or both of the political parties in the United States, which they've succeeded in doing. The Democrat Party is now the Communist Party of North America. 16. Use technical decisions of the courts to weaken basic American institutions. And I can't read the rest of it. 17. Get control of the schools, use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum, get control of teachers' associations, put the party line in textbooks. 18. Gain control of all student newspapers. 19. Bad print. 20. Infiltrate the press, which has been done. Get control of book review assignments, editorial writing, policy making positions. 21. Gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. Artistic expression. An American communist cell was told to eliminate all good sculpture from parks and buildings, substitute shapeless, awkward, and meaningless forms. How's that? 23. Control art clinics and directors of art museums. Our plan is to, and then I can't read it. 24. Eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them a censorship and a violation of free speech and free press. 25. Break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, and TV. 26. Ready for this one? Present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. 27 looks like attack religion, discredit the Bible, and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. That's 26 goals, all achieved. Here's 28. Eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools on the ground that it violates the principle of separation of church and state. 1963. 29. Discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, out of step with modern needs, a hindrance to cooperation between nations on a worldwide basis. 1963. Discredit the American founding fathers, present them as selfish aristocrats who had no concern for the common man. 31. Belittle all forms of American culture and discourage the teaching of American history on the grounds that it is only a minor part of the big picture. 32. Emphasize Russian history since the communists took over. 32. Support any socialist movement to give centralized control over any part of the culture, education, social agencies, welfare programs, mental health clinics, etc. Eliminate the House Committee on Un-American Activities. Infiltrate and gain control of more unions. More unions, 1963. Infiltrate and gain control of big business. Transfer some of the powers of arrest from the police to social agencies. Treat all behavioral problems as psychiatric disorders, which require a rehab. I'm filling in the blanks here. At 39, dominate the psychiatric profession and use mental health laws as a means of gaining coercive control over those who oppose communist goals. 40. How successful they are on number 40. Discredit the family as an institution. Encourage promiscuity. 41. Emphasize the need to raise children away from negative influence of parents. Attribute prejudices, mental blocks, and retarding of children to suppressive independence of parents. 42. Create the impression that violence and insurrection are legitimate, like biting a guy's finger off. Groups should rise up and use united force to solve economic, political, and social problems. Repeal the Connolly Reservation so that the United States cannot prevent the world court from seizing jurisdiction over domestic trials. Be digitized. Oh, okay. So that's it. What do you think? Unbelievable, huh? Unbelievable. Discredit the family as an institution. Encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. Internationalize the Panama Canal. Unbelievable. Okay, so that's where your country is today. That was 1963. How many years is that? 45? 46. You don't think they've made progress? Quite successful. Now you see, tonight they're making a major case against contractors that are working for the State Department in Afghanistan. Okay, and they're showing clips of Boys Gone Wild. Now, how did they get those clips? How did they get them? Who betrayed who? And what is the motive for the betrayal? Now, they're using typical Democrat buzzwords when they get caught with their pants down. I'm shocked and appalled. And they're calling for a committees to investigate. Who are they going to put in charge? Dirty Dan McGraw? Hey, these guys are over there. They're laying their lives on the line. If they want to let their hair down, so be it. It's a traditional thing. Oh, they're going to say they brought in prostitutes. Well, let me tell you something. They're going to make a big stink of this. They're going to blow it way out of proportion. They're going to embellish and exaggerate what took place. But they didn't mention Gay Pride Day in the Iraqi embassy run by the State Department, did they? No. You think about that. What do you think offends a Muslim more? An American who's drinking and cavorting with women? Or an American who is making believe he's a woman? Which one infuriates a Muslim more? And in other news tonight that's going to bring down the Catholic Church, in Long Island they caught a 68-year-old nun under the influence of alcohol. She tested 1.8. Now, if she was a politician, she wouldn't have taken a test. If she was a politician like Patrick Kennedy, who was going at 4 o'clock in the morning driving his car up the steps of the House of Representatives to go vote in a typical Kennedy drunken stupor. Oh, that gets covered up. The police take him home. But a 68-year-old nun, I'm surprised they didn't call the SWAT team out. She had an accident with the car. She shouldn't have been driving. God knows that. We know that. But let me tell you something. If you were a 68-year-old nun, you'd be drinking too. Yeah, this is not the biggest criminal in the United States. However, the communist media will tell you so. Yeah, they got compassion for guys to blow up planes with 270 Americans on board and 11 Scots on the ground. They got compassion. But a nun who's overdoing the blackberry brandy, they want the death penalty. Yeah, McGrahy McGregor. Yes, a typical Scotch hero. Yeah, he wears the same kilts as William Wallace of Scotland. McGrahy McGregor from Libya, and it was all about oil. It's always about the money. It is, isn't it? Isn't it sad? Isn't it sad? Why is George Bush so chummy with Bill Clinton? What's it about? What's that about? Bill, teach me how to make the money you made. I mean, you started out as working in government service, and you're worth $107 million. How did you do that? Did you buy one piece of cloth and cut it in two, and then sell the two and buy two pieces and cut it in four? Is that how you did that, Bill? Yeah. Or did you get some of that Arkansas cocaine money? What's the name of the airport in Arkansas that they were flying cocaine into on a regular basis while he was governor?
Mena.
Yeah, and listen, I'm not going after him because he's a Democrat. All politicians, Savage has said it again tonight, fire them all. And I agree, 100%. Get rid of the Republicans, get rid of the Democrats. Fire them all. You got to send a message. If you don't send a message now, your voice will be silenced the next time you want to speak. You think about it. In 2010, you got to fire everybody. And when the rest of the rats see that the first wave is gone, let me tell you something. You're going to get more cooperation than you want. And that's what you got to do. You got to send a national message, and the national message is, you're fired. You're fired, get your crap and get out. And then, you know what? Elect me president, make me the write-in candidate, we'll sweep the field. 60 million Americans who don't vote will vote. Okay? You'll have a landslide. It'll be 90 million against 30 million. And you can call me President Cancel, because I'm canceling everything. What do you got? Oh, you got the pork? Pork is canceled. We're going kosher. What do you have? Oh, you have aid for foreign nations? Canceled. Canceled. Charity begins at home. We clean the house up first. And let's get the bills paid. What's his name? Dave Ramsey? Dave Ramsey can come to Washington and cut off everybody's credit card. President Cancel. That's, you can call me President Cancel. And what else? We got a subsidy for this? You want to build two bridges to nowhere? Canceled. Everything is canceled. You got a raise? You put yourself in for a raise, a senator? Your raise is canceled. Yeah, I'm gonna have an Italian middle name. Call me Vito. Yeah, and that's it. President Cancel is here today, my fellow Americans. And I'll tell you every night what we canceled and how much money we saved. Yeah, Nancy Pelosi has got a three-wheeler. Her plane is grounded. She now has to pedal away from California to Washington. Yeah. And being that the government now owns the automobile industry, Chuck Schumer will be fixing flats. Yeah, you know how long that'll last. Yeah, you want to see a guy sweat. Okay, you want your country back? It's going to cost you. And just remember, you got to elect me, President Cancel. Even the sermons for today will be canceled. You won't be able to brainwash the kids in school. Rehab? All the rehab clinics will be closed in 90 days. Either clean up or find another country. Anything that's a self-inflicted wound will not be sponsored by the U.S. government. Will not be sponsored by the mom and pops of America. Canceled. Farts for the arts? Canceled. Money for the military? All they want. Yep. We'll close all the pawn shops outside the military bases. And we'll give the housewives extra money. And we'll take it from the rich, the House and the Senate. Right? You like that idea? I know you do. You want your day in court without having to pay a lawyer. Me too. Just call me. You can reach me day or night. Tell me where the pork is and we'll get rid of it. It'll be gone so fast, it'll make everybody's head spin. So let me give you a tune, and we'll have a few more chuckles. I love this Count Basie sound. Fantastic. I just discovered it. I'm like a bird on a branch. I dig it the most, man. Isn't it great when you find something new and then refreshing, and it sort of captures you for a day, a couple of days, a week, like a new flavor, except for Ben and Mary's ice cream. I heard that one. Vermont has gone to hell in a handbasket. They now have a gay ice cream. They changed the name from Chubby Hubby to Hubby Hubby to celebrate gay marriage. How about two scoops of AIDS? Going back to 1963, when the communists were taking over the country, all the intellectuals are debated. How can you classify a homosexuality as sixth sex? Who can define a sixth sex? I can. Ask me. When the goat is on top. They'll be changing the name of the United States to Gomorrah, USA. Half the country's got herpes. Give me that bassy sound.
the west asleep, the west asleep. Alas and well, may Erin weep, the Connaught lies in slumber deep. But hark the voice, like thunder.
Hi, you boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book at .com. That's an opening tune for an Irish rebel song. And tonight, we are now suffering the same fate as the Irish rebels. You could change the name of Erin to Freedom. And the West is asleep. And the West is asleep is very true. And the West was asleep on 9-1-1. And you know who put us to sleep? Our enemies. And you know who our enemies were? The House and the Senate. It is time to overthrow the government. I'm calling for an overthrow. I'll be the first one removed from the air tonight. I think I hear the Gestapo truck and the troops. Stormtroopers jumping out of the truck right now. So, I'm going to read you a few epistles tonight that I got from various bloggers. Freedom bloggers, and don't think the government doesn't plan to take over the internet, comrade. First blog I'm going to read you, it's called Let's Recap. The American people elect a black president with a total of 142 days experience as a U.S. senator from the most politically corrupt state in America, whose governor is ousted from office for bidding up the job. The president's first official act is to order the close of Gitmo and make sure terrorist civil rights are not violated. He screwed up. 2. The U.S. Congress rushes to confirm a black attorney general, Eric Holder, whose law firm, we later find out, represents 17 Gitmo terrorists. An honest mistake? Okay, I got to say something. When you see somebody say black president, a black attorney general, don't take it to mean that this is a racist, anti-black movement. It is not. I watched Congressional Medal of Honor winners this morning before I went to work. And there was a black Vietnam vet, and he's sitting there with the CMH around his neck. The lower half of his teeth are missing and the upper half of his teeth are missing, and I'm looking at it and I'm saying he can't afford to get his teeth fixed. And he's a CMH holder. And he breaks down and he cries. He was a peace activist who served in Vietnam. He refused to carry a weapon, but he carried plasma and he protected the lives of those who had fallen. And he had done it so valiantly that he qualified for the CMH. He was not an affirmative action CMH winner. He earned it. So, before you bring out the race label, take it, and you know what you can do with it. Turn it over on the other side. And use the left hand. Anyway, so here's number 3. The CIA boss appointee, Leon Panetta, has absolutely no experience. Has a daughter, Linda, we find out, who's a true radical anti-American activist and a supporter of all the anti-American regimes in the Western Hemisphere. There were socio-economic factors involved. 4. We got the second most corrupt American woman, Pelosi, as number 1, as Secretary of State, bought and paid for. You can put lipstick on a pig, but it still stinks. And somebody said to me, don't insult the pigs. I got to tell you what I think of Pelosi. And another one, Pelosi, Kami Kucinich, and Squinty Eyes Nelson, the baby Bayonetta and flag burner of record. Do you know he's the only astronaut that's spelled with two S's? He's from Florida. Do you know he blocked the door for Terry Schiavo so the rescue team couldn't go in and feed her? Yeah, he stood there with the girl that's named after a test for VD, Wasserman Schultz. Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz. They blocked the door to murder the only witness to a murder, her own murder. And if you think that she fell getting out of bed, you know what you need to do? You need to be 11 years old and stand at the bus and go with the nice man who drags you into the car, because you're that naive. But anyway, we got five. We got a tax cheat for Treasury Secretary who did not properly file his own taxes for 12 years. He misspoke. Six, a Commerce Secretary nominee who withdrew. Oh, going back to Syria. Going back to Nancy Pelosi, who I call Uday Pelosi, and Senator Bayonetta Babies Nelson. Do you know that they wouldn't let him go to the moon because they figured that even without oxygen, he'd find a way to burn the flag? Kami Kucinich, and then there was a hero who rose, who came to America as an immigrant son, Lantos. And he was on the trip to Syria. All four of them were selling out the United States to Bashar al-Assad during wartime. Do you know they should have been hanged in Fort Leavenworth for that? Right out the fifth floor elevator shaft. Yep. So we got a tax cheat for chief performance officer who withdrew under charges. A commerce secretary who withdrew due to corruption charges. A labor secretary nominee who withdrew under charges of unethical conduct. A secretary HHS nominee, Daschle, who withdrew under charges of cheating on his taxes. And his wife is a lobbyist for the airline industry. While he was a sneaker of the house. Yeah. Multiple appointments of former lobbyists in an absolute campaign statement. After an absolute campaign statement, that no lobbyists would be appointed. And the guy's got in parentheses, dear God, I need a drink. All this occurred in the first 3 weeks, but who's counting? They hit the ground running. They really did. They got in there. They made sure all the W's were still on the computers, on the keyboards. Americans being run by a modern-day Three Stooges, Barry, Nancy, and Harry, and they are still trying to define stimulus. It's spending. The Congress passes an $800 billion pork-loaded spending bill where the government gives you a smidgen of your tax dollars. They're going to give you $13 a week back, making you feel so good about yourself, you're stimulated, that you want to run out to Walmart and buy a new Chinese-made HD TV and go home and watch Telemundo. Only in America. What a country. Pray for our country. Here's the good news, though. Obama took Air Force One to Denver to sign the stimulus package, wasting 10,000 gallons of fuel or 24 jobs for 1 year. Don't you just love this hypocrite? And this may have been written before the date to New York and the trip for Michelle and the kids to Paris. Speaking of praying, Obama has now been president for 7 months, and yet he and his wife, Michelle, the Christian family they claim to be, have not attended church since the inauguration. He must miss Reverend Wright. In these days, I'll keep my God, my freedom, my gun, and my money. And anyone that supports this insanity can keep change. Okay, so I thought I'd give you that. I'll hit you with a tune. When I come back, we're going to talk about the communist junta.
The minstrel boy to the war is gone. In the ranks of death you will find him. Father's sword he has girded on, and his wild heart slung behind him. Land of song, say the warrior bard, though all the world betrays thee, one sword at least thy right shall guard, one faithful heart shall praise thee. Fell, but the foeman's chain could not bring that proud soul under. The harp he loved ne'er spoke again, for he tore its cords asunder, and said, no chain shall sully thee, thou soul of love and bravery. Thy song were made for the pure and free, they shall never sound in slavery.
Here's my second epistle of the day. Bill would give President emergency control of the internet, and this is by Declan McCullough. And internet companies and civil liberty groups were alarmed this spring when a U.S. Senate bill proposed handing the White House the power to disconnect private sector computers from the internet. They're not much happier about the revised version that aides to Senator Jay Rockefeller, a flag burner and a baby killer. He's a loyal party member, comrade. A West Virginia Democrat have spent months drafting behind closed doors. CNET News has obtained a copy of the 55-page draft of S-773 excerpt, which still appears to permit the president to seize temporary control of private sector networks during a so-called cybersecurity emergency. The new version would allow the president to declare a cybersecurity emergency relating to non-governmental computer networks and do what's necessary to respond to the threat. Other sections of the proposal include a federal certification program for cybersecurity professionals and the requirement that certain computer systems and networks in the private sector be managed by people who have been awarded that license. Here you go. The internet, when it first came out, it was everybody's dream come true. It was free. It was happy land. Now your government is about, they see the action. They want a piece of the action. And they want to make sure that they can control your last thought before you're executed. I think the redraft, while improved, remains troubling due to its vagueness, says Larry Clinton, president of the Internet Security Alliance, who also said, "What's in it for me?" I'm sure he did, and everybody does think of themselves first, don't we? Which counts are representatives of Verizon, Versign, Nortel, and Carnegie Mellon University on its board. See, the big boys are getting ready to take it over. It is unclear what authority Senator Rockefeller thinks is necessary over the private sector. Unless this is clarified, we cannot properly analyze, let alone support this bill. Unless there's something in it for me. Representatives of other large internet and telecommunications companies expressed concern about the bill in a teleconference with Rockefeller aides this week. They're deciding the fate of the American people. But we're not immediately available for interviews on Thursday. A spokesman for Rockefeller also declined to comment on the record. You think I'm going to trust my internet to a flag burner and a baby killer? If he will vote to burn the American flag, and he'll vote to kill 1,400,000 American babies butchered every year in the United States, you think I'm going to put my life in his hands? saying that many people were unavailable because of, they declined to comment on the record because many people were unavailable because of the summer recess. See, they only screw you at certain times of the year. A Senate source familiar with the bill compared the president's power to take control of portions of the internet to what President Bush did when grounding all aircraft on September 11, 2001. That had to be done. That had to be done. That was the greatest defeat in the history of the United States. Nobody inflicted more pain on the United States than Al-Qaeda. Those fire-worshipping Muslims. When Rockefeller, the chairman of the Senate Commerce Committee, and Olympia Snowe, this woman's got to go. She is Medusa with a nice hairdo. She is Arlen Specter with a nice hairdo. Introduced the original bill in April, they claimed it was vital to protect national cybersecurity. Olympia Snowe's a Republican. She's in bed with David Rockefeller here, Jay Rockefeller. What is she doing in bed with Jay Rockefeller? What, is she crossing party lines? She's a Democrat. No question about it. She's a Democrat. The only thing she hasn't done yet is vote to burn the flag. I don't know how she stands on kids. But I don't trust her. And I don't trust McCain, who, upon receiving the nomination of the Republican Party, his first opening sentence was to praise Ted Kennedy. Yeah, and that's why he lost the election. The Rockefeller proposal plays out against a broader concern in Washington about the government's role in cybersecurity. In May, President Obama acknowledged that the government is not as prepared as it should be to respond to disruptions and announced that a new cybersecurity coordinator position would be created inside the White House staff. We can't even put out forest fires in California. As a matter of fact, one of those forest fires knocked down a few antennas and everybody lost communication. We are so wide open, it is pathetic. We are as wide open as we were on 9-1-1. We have relaxed our guard. And you better pray we don't get hit on the anniversary of 9-1-1. 3 months later, that post remains empty, or they were going to appoint a czar. One top cybersecurity aide has quit, and some wags have begun to wonder why a government that receives failing marks on cybersecurity should be trusted to instruct the private sector what to do. How about an Internet Katrina? Rockefeller's revised legislation seemed to reshuffle the way the federal government addresses the topic. It requires a cybersecurity wonder force plan for every federal agency, a dashboard pilot project, measurements of hiring effectiveness, and the implementation of a comprehensive national cybersecurity strategy in 6 months, even though its mandatory legal review would take a year to complete. The privacy implications of sweeping changes implemented before the legal review was finished worry Li Tian, a senior staff of the Electronic Frontier Foundation in San Francisco. As soon as you're saying that the federal government is going to be exercising the kind of power over private networks, it's going to be a really big issue, he says. I just hope Li Tian doesn't work for the Chinese. Yeah, and probably the most controversial. I can see it now. All of a sudden, there's a blackout, and 30 seconds later, a Chinese official says, "Nobody go to work today. Everybody stay home. The government is okay." Probably the most controversial language begins in Section 2020-201, which permits the president to direct a national response to a cyber threat, if necessary, for the national defense and security. The White House is supposed to engage a periodic mapping of private networks deemed to be critical, and those companies shall share requested information with the federal government. A cyber is defined as anything having to do with the internet, telecommunications, computers, or computer networks. Imagine if somebody could get into a missile defense system and redirect the missiles and launch them. The language has changed, but it doesn't contain any additional limits, EFF's Tien says. It simply switches the most direct and obvious language they had originally to a more ambiguous version. And that's all it is. That's it. What do they call that? Smoke and mirrors? The designation of what is a critical infrastructure system or network, as far as I can tell, has no specific process. There's no provision for any administrative process or review. That's where the problems seem to start, and then you have the amorphous powers that go along with it. Translation: if your company is deemed critical, a new set of regulations kick in involving who you can hire, what information you must disclose, and when the government would exercise control over your computers or network. And tonight I'm watching a Fox reporter in a cornfield with a farmer who's hoping to get another 50 days of decent weather before he harvests his crop. And the Fox News interviewer is saying, you did pretty good last year. He says, yeah. He says, but you're going to take a hit this year. He goes, yeah, thank God that I made some money last year. How's that? That's what you better be worrying about that farmer, because you're going to be paying through the nose for food. The Internet Security Alliance's Clinton adds that his group is supportive of increased federal involvement to enhance cybersecurity. Then we believe that the wrong approach as embodied in this bill as introduced will be counterproductive. There's a lot of guys casting lots for the cloak of the American soul. And you better pray that this country wakes up and cleans House and Senate. And update, I just talked to Jane Longo, Deputy Commissioner, Communications Director for the Senate Commerce Committee, on the phone. And she sent me email with this statement. The President of the United States has always had the constitutional authority and duty to protect the American people and direct the national response to any emergency that threatens the security and safety of the United States. The Rockefeller Snowjob Cybersecurity Bill makes it clear that the President's authority includes securing our national cyber infrastructure from attack. The section of the bill that addresses this issue applies specifically to the national response to a severe attack or natural disaster. This particularly legislative language is based on long-standing statutory authorities for wartime use of communications networks. To be very clear, the Rockefeller Snow Bill will not empower a government shutdown or takeover of the Internet. And any suggestion otherwise is misleading and false. The purpose of this language is to clarify how the President directs the public and private response to a crisis. These people hit the White House running. They had all their game plans ready. They figured that they're going to hit us before we can react. And that's what they have done. They have pushed all the legislation they want to get over on us as quickly as possible. And how sad that we are losing our freedoms every day and we don't know it. It's absolutely sad. Okay, so having said that, I'll give you a tune. And you notice the tune I played was The Minstrel Boy. And it said, though all the world betray thee, one faithful harp, one faithful sword shall guard thy right, and one faithful harp shall play thee. And the end of the song is he dies in battle. And before he dies, he tears the cords of his harp, because he never wants his harp to play in slavery. I think we're all going to be tearing cords on harps. Thank you. read you this blog I sent out today after I got tired of listening to Saint Teddy Kennedy being canonized. I knew this communist junta that seized power after the election hated old-timers. Oh, I call this the Chappaquiddick health care bill, because they want a bill named after Teddy Kennedy. And so I call it the Chappaquiddick health care bill. I know this communist junta that seized power after the election hated old-timers and non-voting children, but I never dreamed they would pass a health care bill named after a drunken, flag-burning, woman-drowning baby killer. The jester of the Senate should have been denied access to a Catholic Church funeral, but Notre Dame Catholicism is rampant in the House and the Senate. When a cardinal blesses a restaurant, Le Cirque, to get a free $500 meal, it's time to put coal in the meager second collection. Kennedys can buy anybody except a stairway to heaven. You lost your country, America, and you don't even know it. In 11 days, the reality of a failed nation will be another wisp of smoke once again. We can't even rebuild what fire-worshipping Muslims destroy. One out of five Americans is a drug addict, and 50% a divorce rate among the married, and another 75% among the hooked up. Children are safer in Baghdad than waiting for a bus in California or Florida. 1.4 million American babies are butchered annually in the Chappaquiddick-style baby seal hunt. Foreigners replace the exterminated, as Saddam Hussein was more merciful than a fiend who shouts, "It's my body," while smashing an infant's head. Our entertainment is debauchery. Our parents teach their children how to sin. Hollywood worships evil and adores a statuette of a bald-headed eunuch made of gold. Your 401k is being coveted by a tax-junkie government. Don't think they're not planning to get more of your 401k. Our legacy is STDs and AIDS and an economy that is printing fake money. The national assets are owned by the Chinese, and the only job you will get in the future is working for the government if you fit the new profile, comrade. Your appointed representative won't even look at you, let alone meet you at a town hall. Simmer down, boy. What truths are you holding that are self-evident? A generation who sacrificed everything to guarantee you LLP, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, now watches helplessly as you waste the few drops of freedom that are left. The media lies and launders your brain, and you have nothing to compare truth to. The communist junta controls the media curtain, and the internet is next. Can you say a tovarich? I have to go now. The Gestapo is taking me to anger management camp again. And never forget the lesson of 9-1-1. 9-1-1 was the greatest defeat in the history of the USA. The casualty count was higher than Pearl Harbor. And Pearl Harbor was all fighting men. The casualty count in New York was men, women, and unborn children. Here's the last epistle of the evening, sent to me by somebody who titled it, "Here's the Real Ted Kennedy That the Media Would Never Report." The sad part is he will be buried in Arlington with real heroes. This is the type of politician that is governing us, and God help us as we sure need it. The last of the Kennedy dynasty. And it turns out they were all pigs in a blanket. The only one I have any respect for is Ethel. She's the only one that kept a pure Catholic tradition. All the rest were pigs in a blanket. As a matter of fact, there's a bay in Cuba named after the Kennedys. As soon as his cancer was detected, I noticed the immediate attempt at the canonization of old Teddy Kennedy by the mainstream of mafia media. They are saying what a great American he is or was. I say, let's get a couple of things clear, not to twist the facts to change the real history. One, now this is a man reporting, this isn't me talking, all right? However, I do agree with him. I just don't want to plagiarize somebody else's hard work. One, he was caught cheating at Harvard when he attended it. He was expelled twice, once for cheating on a test, and once for paying a classmate to cheat for him. Two, while expelled, Kennedy enlisted in the Army, but mistakenly signed up for 4 years instead of two. Whoops, the man can't count to four. His father, Joseph P. Kennedy, former U.S. ambassador to England, and pro-Hitler, by the way, pulled the necessary strings to have his enlistment shortened in 2 years, and to ensure that he served in Europe and not Korea, where a war was raging. No preferential treatment for him, like he charged that President Bush received. And now it turns out that Dan Rather lied and covered up, but it's only alleged. And Mary Mapes, his companion in crime, never declared that Bush had volunteered to go to Vietnam. And if it's true, you got to give Bush a lot of credit for not taking the issue on. He just ignored it. How's that? So that makes Bush look even better. And I wouldn't be surprised if everybody's praying for him to come back. Yeah, he'll get the immaculate reception. Yeah, just for Palm Sunday. Kennedy was assigned to Paris. He never advanced beyond the rank of... He was assigned to Paris. Let me tell you something. I served in Germany. I never met anybody that was assigned to Paris. Kennedy was assigned to Paris, never advanced beyond the rank of private, and returned to Harvard upon being discharged. Imagine a person of his education never advancing past the rank of private. While attending law school at the University of Virginia, he was cited for reckless driving 4 times, including once when he was clocked doing 90 miles an hour in a residential neighborhood with the headlights off after dark, yet his Virginia's driver's license was never revoked. Coincidentally, he passed the bar exam in 1959. Amazing. In 1964, he was seriously injured in a plane crash and hospitalized for 7 months. Test results done by the hospital at the time he was admitted had shown he was legally intoxicated. The results of those tests remained a state secret until the 1980s, when the report was unsealed. You didn't hear about that in the unbiased media. Oh no. And Jack the Ripper was a prince. On July the 19th, 1969, Kennedy attended a party on Chappaquiddick Island in Massachusetts. On about 11 p.m., he borrowed his chauffeur's keys to his automobile limousine. This guy had the ability to have a chauffeur drive him, which is the ideal situation for a drunk. That you got somebody to drive you home. And he borrowed his chauffeur's keys to his automobile limousine and offered to give a ride home to Mary Jo Kopechne, a campaign worker. Leaving the island via an unit bridge with no guardrail, Kennedy steered the car off the bridge and flipped it into Poucher Pond. He swam to shore and walked back to the party. Because I said to myself, you mean this guy couldn't get a garden hose from a nearby house and try and help that girl? Passing several houses and a fire station, two friends then returned with him to the scene of the accident. He says, two friends then returned with him to the equals two. Oh, scene of the accident, whatever that means, unless it's a typo. According to their later testimony, they told him what he already knew, that he was required by law to immediately report the accident to the authorities. Instead, Kennedy made his way to his hotel, called his lawyer, and went to sleep. I just want to go back to one thing. He swam to shore. Okay? He flipped the car over near a bridge, swam to shore, and passed several houses and a fire station. And a fire station. Now, let's say the fire station is volunteer fire and it's empty. You go in there, you just got to ring a bell, right? Or hit an alarm. Or hit a phone. Okay? It's almost as if he didn't want the girl to be found. And that he was required by law to immediately report the accident. Instead, Kennedy made his way to his hotel, called his lawyer, and went to sleep. How could you go to sleep? He was sober enough to call his lawyer. Kennedy called the police the next morning, and by then the wreck had already been discovered. Before dying, Mary Jo Kopechne had scratched at the upholstered floor above her head in the upside-down car. Poor girl. What a way to die. Never trust a politician. The Kennedy family began calling in favors, ensuring that any inquiry would be contained. Her corpse was whisked out of state to her family before an autopsy could be conducted. How's that for covering up murder? Further details are uncertain, but after the accident, Kennedy says he repeatedly dove under the water trying to rescue Kopechne, and he didn't call police because he was in a state of shock. It is widely assumed Kennedy was drunk, and he held off calling the police in hopes that his family could fix the problem overnight. Since the accident, Kennedy's political enemies have referred to him as the distinguished senator from Chappaquiddick. He pled guilty to leaving the scene of an accident and was given a suspended sentence of 2 months. Mary Jo Kopechne's family received a small payout from the Kennedy insurance policy and never sued. There was later an effort to have her body exhumed and autopsied, but her family successfully fought against this in court, and Kennedy's family paid their attorney's bills, a token of friendship. How sad. Suppose they found out the girl was pregnant, eh? Kennedy has held his Senate seat for more than 40 years, but considering his longevity, his accomplishments seem scant. He authored or argued for legislation that ensured a variety of civil rights, increased the minimum wage in 1981, made access to health care easier for the indigent, and funded Meals on Wheels for fixed-income seniors, and is widely held as the standard-bearer for liberalization. In his very first Senate role, he was the floor manager for the bill that turned U.S. immigration policy upside down and opened the floodgate of immigrants from third-world countries who now take the place of the American children that we murder at the rate of 1.4 million a year. And we can't do anything about it. We don't have an abortion czar. Since that time, he has been the prime legislator instigator, and author of every expansion of an increase in immigration, up to and including the latest attempt to grant amnesty to illegal aliens, not to mention the pious grilling he gave the last two Supreme Court nominees, as if he was the standard bearer for the nation in matters of what's right. What a pompous ass. He is known around Washington as a public drunk, loud, boisterous, and very disrespectful to ladies. Jerk is a better description than great American. A blonde in every pond is his motto. Let's not allow the spin doctors make this jerk a hero. How quickly the American public forgets what their real legacy is. Let's keep telling the truth and going for justice and the American way. Keep in mind, we're burying a murderer. And that's what the comment was from that disenchanted American. Not disenfranchised, disenchanted. So having said that, I will close with a little more Count Basie, if I can find him. Yeah, I got him. This is this government is nothing but tax hungry junkies. That's all they are. They're tax money junkies. They can't get their hands on your money fast enough. And I joke, you know, and I say that one day there'll be a toilet tax. There'll be a knock on your door, and there'll be a meter maid and with a installer, and they're going to go up to your bathroom, and they're going to put a meter right by your toilet, and then they're going to come around once a week and empty the meter, and if they find you on the toilet and that meter's expired, they're going to put a boot on the toilet, and then eventually they'll tow your toilet away, and then you'll have to go to Queens and claim it and pay the transportation charges. Hey, 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 hey.
We have no problems and we see the light. We got a lot of cash we got to hide. There ain't no danger, we can go too far. Just start selling those pardons, that's who we are. Greece. We are scoring big in tax monies like rain. The voters don't understand, it's just a laughing shame. Our lips are lying, only cash is real. Stop fighting ourselves, we got dinars to feel. Greece is the word. We take the pressure and we throw away. The Constitution now belongs to yesterday. There is no chance the U.S. will get that far. Once our pockets are heavy, put the rest in the car. Greece is the word. This is a life of confusion, a life of control, mixed with diffusion. Chuck Schumer just sold his soul. McDermott, Thompson, Banya scored lots of green. They went to Baghdad and they made the scene. Pelosi and Nelson, they danced the clone. Denounced the country from a Syrian throne. Backsheesh is the word, it's the word that you heard. The refrigerators are full, let's break the bird. Greece is the time, is the place, is the motion. Greece is the way we are crouping, way we are crouping. Hey, get your nuclear secrets, and get your caribou rights, and get your trade agreements, get your higher taxes, get your open borders, press 5 for English.
You know, champagne is not champagne unless it comes from the province of Champagne. I learned that in bartending school.
That's our show, folks. We're signing off. We got 38 seconds left. Take care.